I told them in Sunday school that I would probably say tonight about 50 times during the sermon. So, but I'll try to remember what time of day it is. Amen. While I minister. John chapter 1, verse 29. If you found it, say amen. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. I want to read that again, but I'm going to read it the way John probably would have said it. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Praise God. Amen. Pray with me today, if you will. Lord, I praise you. I love you. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to preach your word. I thank you, Jesus, for who you are. Thank you that you are the Lamb that was sent to die on the cross. And I pray that my words be few and yours many. Please bless each heart. Open our hearts so we can receive your word. In your name we pray. And everyone said amen. 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 You may be seated this morning. Thank you for standing. Praise the Lord. Amen. I want to preach to you with the Lord's help about the eye of the beholder. The eye of the beholder. We all know an old saying about that is beauty is what? In the eye of the beholder. And one time while I was at Bible school at a convention, I was asked to come up to the stage. I was still in high school, just visiting the school. And so I was extremely nervous to get asked to go up to the stage. But my nerves were calmed when I was not the only one up there, but there was probably about 10 or 11 other young men about my age that were brought up in front of, 400 or 500 young people there. And they brought us up and they stood us all in a line straight across the stage. And we were facing out towards the stage. And so we were going to play a game. All right. We were playing a game. And so we looked like we were criminals getting ready for a lineup. You know what I mean? And the object of the game was we had to mimic the person at the front of the line. Now, the person at the front of the line knew what was going on, and nobody else did. We had no idea what was going on. And so the whole game, this is what he did. He stood right here, and he said, Look, there's a bear. And the person next to him said, Where? He said, Over there. All right? Isn't that crazy? And there's no bear in that building. There was no bear in Neosho, Missouri. I mean, but that's the object of the game. And so they repeated themselves three times. And each time they said, there's a bear over there. Then the next time they put this hand out and said, there's a bear over there. Then the next time they crouched down and said, there's a bear over there. And so by the end of the line, everybody was crouched down. And the first person over here said, Look. And everybody said, What? And he knocked us all over on the ground. It was a domino effect. It was horrible. We were pretending that we saw a bear. Have you ever pretend that you see things? Hopefully it's pretend if you're seeing things this morning. But pretending is fun, but we don't live in a pretend world, do we? We live in reality. We live in a real world. And still, some people will try to pretend that Jesus is not real. They'll try to pretend that Jesus is not who he really is. And the reality of Christ is that he is the King of Kings. Amen. And he is the Lord of Lords. That is the reality there. Many people would try to pretend that away and say, no, God's not real. God's dead. Jesus is just a great man. He was a great prophet. Jesus is, if it works for you, that's fine, but he's not for everybody. But I'm here to tell you today, the reality is that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. Praise God. When I worked at a bank called Arvest Bank, we don't have those around here. They're in the 4-state area of Missouri, Arkansas, Oklahoma, and Kansas. I worked there and I had to endure many hours of training. They were very serious about how you went about their business and how you reflected who they were as a company. And in that training, we had classes regarding the appearance of the store and the employees in the store. And the key statement that was made in that training was this, that perception is reality. That the way people see things, that the way they look at you and see you is the way that they see us, is the reality that they see. All right? In other words, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. To you, somebody may be beautiful. To me, they're not. You know what I mean? Somebody may think you're the prettiest thing in the world and the other person may think you're not. beauty is in the eye of the beholder. But the way you are perceived is reality to that person. Perception is the way the mind notices external objects or the way that somebody views something or someone else. Now this is a good example of how perception equals reality. Are you with me this morning? Say amen. All right, thank you. Now, if I'm an employee of the bank and somebody comes in, a customer comes in and begins to ask some questions, it's my job to give a good first impression, okay? I'm the first line of defense. So I come up to them and my name tag's all crooked, my shirt's untucked, my hair's messy, I look like I just got out of bed, and I have no answers to any of their questions. What do you think the perception of the business is in that meeting there? That it's full of lazy, good-for-nothing people, and it's not a good bank, it's not run well, and they're going to go down the road for somebody else, okay? And so the reality may be that the bank's a great bank. Now, Harvest Bank was a good place to work, a good place to have your money, but if an employee doesn't give that perception to a customer, they're not going to think that is the reality. But if they come up to me and I look nice, and I have all of the answers, I'm polite, and my attention is strictly on that one customer, they're going to perceive that that bank is a good place to be, right? I mean, they're going to think, man, they've got customer service that is top notch. They've got people who know what they're talking about. I mean, my money will be safe here. That's what they're going to think. And so the way they see the bank is the reality to them. The bank is a good bank. Now, perceptions are unique and they differ from person to person. They're molded by our upbringing and our worldviews. You know, you see things wrong with something that a person sitting next to you might think is no problem. I mean, you may get a bowl of chili and you say, man, this is spicy. And to you, that's reality. But to the person sitting next to you, like, man, this is weak, you know, and because to them, it's not hot. The way you perceive something is reality. In the early, in the mid-1900s, there was a perception that a person of a race, no matter what race you were from, every other race was lesser than yours, you know? I mean, you saw that, and even in our days, every race has certain groups of people who think that every other race in the world is a lesser race. Their perception is that I'm better than you. That's not the true reality, but to them it is. And now for many people, that perception has changed, and I praise the Lord for that, amen. But the way you look at things and the way that I look at things is how we view reality. And many times our opinions on every subject is different. We view things in a different way, and we can both be right at some point and at some time. We can both argue different views on a certain subject and still both be right. We can both be wrong even though our opinions are different. We can argue about politics and both be right and both be wrong. We can argue about convictions and both be right and both be wrong. We can argue about articles in the newspaper and sports teams and other things. And we can make valid arguments that are true for our opinion and our perception and the way we view things. But there is only one way. Listen to me. I said all that to say this. There is only one way to view Christ, okay? There's no way for us to argue about it. There's only one way for us to see Him. He is to be revered and honored and worshipped as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Savior of the earth. Praise God. He is to be viewed in that manner. There's no argument there. Can I hear an amen? There's only one way to see Christ. And that's who He is, praise the Lord, the Savior of the world. But sadly, there are still many people who decide to see Christ as something less than what He is. And I'll say this, some people are in the world and some people in the church don't see Christ for who He is. And some of you here today may have a wrong view of Christ. You still may believe that He is the Savior that came, was born in a manger, but you have not viewed Him as the Lord of your life. And that is the most important thing you can do today, is leave here with Christ being the Lord of your heart. Amen. Praise God. Now, I remember when my wife and I first were married, I assumed that I had to take care of her all by myself. I tried to be Superman. You know what I found out? I found out that I had the wrong view of me and of Jesus. Jesus was the one I needed to put all my faith in. I had to put everything in Him. I had to put all my stock. I had to put everything that I had in His hands. Because that's where He belongs. Praise the Lord. He is Lord. Now, there's only one way to believe in Christ. You have to see Him as the Lord of your life. Every other way is wrong, okay? Every other way is wrong. And I want to look at two men in the Bible who had two very different perceptions of Jesus. They had two very different perceptions of Jesus and who He was while he was here on earth. So let's just dig into the Word right here, if we can, just for a few minutes here. The first person I want to look at is the man Pilate. Everybody know who Pilate is? Wave your hand at me if you know who Pilate was in the Bible. Now turn in your Bibles, if you want to John chapter 18 and John chapter 19 there. We're going to look at a couple scriptures about Pilate. Now, Pilate was the man that Jesus was betrayed in the Garden of Gethsemane by Judas. And the company that came to take Jesus, they led him to Annas. And then Annas sent him to the high priest. And then the high priest sent him on to Pilate. So Jesus came before Pilate. And when Jesus comes before Pilate, Pilate, you know, he's there to judge Jesus. He's there to see, you know, is Jesus guilty or not guilty? And so Pilate asks the question, what is the accusation? What are you being charged of? Why are you here? What are you doing here? And Pilate says to Jesus, are you the one they say is the king of the Jews? All right, that's what he asked Jesus. And Jesus looks at Pilate and Jesus, you know, Jesus dealt with people in a strong way. Jesus didn't beat around the bush. Jesus got to the point. All right? Jesus looked at Pilate and he said, Pilate, are you asking this because you think it or because somebody else is thinking it? He's saying, Pilate, is this what you believe or is this what somebody else is believing in? So Jesus goes on to explain that his kingdom is of a heavenly nature, that he was born for this purpose, that he's to bear witness to the truth, and that those who are of the truth will hear his voice. And Pilate only replies, and this is really one verse that haunts me. As Pilate looks at Jesus and he says, well, what is truth? A few chapters before, Jesus told his disciples, he said, I am the way, what else did he say? The truth and the life. Jesus is truth, all right? Jesus is the author of truth. All truth is God's truth. And Pilate looks at this man. He looks at Jesus, who is truth, and he asks him, what is truth? Right there, we recognize that Pilate has a wrong perception of who Jesus is. I mean, here's Pilate. He has a chance, an opportunity that only a handful of people in history ever had. He was face to face with the Messiah, with the Savior of the world, and he blows it. What is truth? And we really find the reason that Pilate didn't recognize Christ as a source of all truth when we look into John chapter 19 verses 1 through 6. Now look at here with me. Well, I'm going to read those six verses in John chapter 19. It says, then Pilate therefore took Jesus and he scourged him, or he beat him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They put on him a purple robe and said, hail, King of the Jews. They smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto him, this is what I want you to get. Pilate said to them, behold the man. Behold the man. That's how Pilate introduces the Savior of the world. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is introduced by this man as just the man. It wasn't even, here's the man, you know. It wasn't like that. It was just, here's this man. Behold this man. When leaders in royalty are introduced, it's a notable introduction. And there's great pomp and circumstance. I mean, their flag is going to be flown high. Their anthem is going to be played by the orchestra or by the on the soundtrack or something. Their title is going to be shouted out. Here is Prince whatever from this place. Here is Queen Elizabeth from England. Here is the President of the United States, Mr. Barack Obama. You know, their title's going to be given. People are going to just clap and rejoice to see them. But the Savior of the world was introduced as just the man. That's how Pilate perceived Jesus. Perceived him as just a mere man. It didn't change who Christ is. It didn't. Pilate's perception of who Jesus is, it didn't change who Jesus really was. And your perception of him can't change Jesus and who he is. Just because some people don't believe in Jesus doesn't mean he isn't the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Because he is unchanging. Praise God. But the way you see Christ, listen, this is important. The way you see Jesus, the way you view him, has a lot to do with how you live your life. And it has everything to do with where you will spend eternity. Everything. God's not a man. The Bible says God is not a man that he should lie. But so often we take Jesus Christ out of the role of the Lord and the King, just like Pilate did. Within our hearts, we take him out of that role and we relegate him to the sidelines of our lives. We may not say, hey, Jesus is just another man. We may not say that. But we act as if he is. And Pilate said, behold the man. And all sinners have a wrong view of Christ. I believe that. They may believe that he is the Lord or that he is a Savior, but they refuse to see him as the Lord of their life. What about you this morning? What about you this morning? Pilate had a wrong perception of Jesus. Now I want to look at John the Baptist. John the Baptist had a right perception of who Jesus was. John 1:29, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and he saith, he doesn't say, behold the man who comes and who was born of a virgin. He's just a man. He's going to come and do some mighty things. He's going to die. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I mean, you talk about a complete 180 from who Pilate saw Christ as. Now, Pilate had a lateral vision of Christ. He only saw Christ as a man, just like he was. But John had a vertical view of Christ. Amen. He knew that Christ was God in the flesh. Praise the Lord. Pilate, he had his eyes on an earthly kingdom. He did. But John, he had his eyes on the kingdom of heaven. Praise God. Pilate had hopes of entertaining a crowd and promoting himself. But John desired to please God and to spread the gospel. Amen. And so he had a right vision and a right perception of Christ. Praise the Lord. And I hope today in this service that we would get a right vision of who Christ is. Now prior to John's proclamation, now John, when he said, behold the Lamb of God, he's speaking to the crowd. Look, there he is. There's the one. There's the Messiah. There's the one we've been waiting for all these years. Amen. John had been preaching to the multitudes about repentance and remission of sins. He'd been baptizing folks and lives were being changed. But even in the midst of his growing following and his small success, John never lost sight of who Jesus was. Praise God. Amen. John could have said, well, I'll just forget about him and I'll keep on preaching. No, John knew that there was a man who was greater than all men that ever lived. Praise the Lord. And that man had come on the scene. And John said, hey, I'm going to interrupt my situation, my life, my message, and everything that I've been doing, I'll interrupt it because the Lamb of God is here. Amen. Not just the man that Pilate said he is, but the Lamb of God. God, the one who came, who gave his only begotten Son so we could have life. John had a good perception of who Jesus is. It's a great revelation. Y'all can agree with me. It's a great revelation when we realize who Jesus is, isn't it? Amen. I remember I grew up in Sunday school all my life. I heard about Jesus. He's my Savior. I believed it in my heart that he was. But I can tell you the time when I was 12 years old, when I really saw Jesus for who he really is for the first time. And I recognize that God isn't just my Savior, but he's got to be the Lord of everything that I have and everything that I am. And so because you know what? I could have grown up my whole life saying, I said, Jesus, come into my heart. But that time when I was 12 years old, I said, Jesus, come in and take over and take control and lead me and guide me. And I'll live for you every day of my life because that's who Jesus is. Praise the Lord. Pilate's proclamation and his perception of Christ was nothing more than a man meant several things. It meant that Christ was a liar. It meant that Christ was a failure. It meant that Christ was finite. It meant that Christ was a dasher of all hopes. It meant that Christ was a phony and a fake. It meant that the Messiah had not come, and it looked as if he never would. That's what happened when Herod, when Pilate said, "This is the man." But listen, when John said, "Behold the Lamb of God," amen, it meant something greater than anything Pilate could ever say. Praise God. It meant that Christ has come, who is the supreme sacrifice. It meant that Christ has come, who will be the greatest of success. It means that Christ has come, who those he dies, he will rise again, praise the Lord. It meant that Christ has come and our hopes are realized, praise God. Because he had a right perception of Jesus. He recognized Christ as a supreme sacrifice when he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." He recognized Christ as the one who was in control and had all power in his hand when he said, "Who taketh away." And he recognized Christ as the one who could take away the sins of the world and conquer all the vices of the enemy. Praise the Lord. And the way they both viewed Christ was very significant. And this is what I want you to get this morning. The way they perceived Christ was very significant to them as individuals, and not just to whom they made their pronouncements. Now let's look at Pilate in his later life. Pilate viewed Christ as just another mortal. He wrongfully delivered him up to his death. In the account of the dialogue between Pilate and Christ in the Gospel of Matthew, you'll find that Pilate, while he's proclaiming, "I haven't found any fault in this man, but I'm going to deliver him to die because you want him," Pilate takes out a bowl of water and washes his hands. You remember that part of the story? He washes his hands and says, "Now my hands are innocent of the blood of this just person." Now Pilate assumed that he could cleanse his own hands from the deeds that he had done. But that was because he perceived that Christ was just a man. And so all his life, there's traditions that say Pilate walked around wringing his hands as if he was trying to get that innocent blood from off of them and never able to do it. You know why? Because the only person that could save his life was the one that he did not believe in. It said he is just a man. But listen to me, John the Baptist, the man who had a good view of Christ, the correct view, he viewed Jesus as the Savior and the Lord of all. And he saw Christ, even though it was hard sometimes, as the one for whom the world had been created and had been awaiting all through history. He saw Christ, even though him and Jesus were cousins, even though they in blood they were relatives, but he still saw Christ as God. Amen. Even though he saw him, he still believed, praise the Lord, he still believed that Jesus was a God, was the God that came to take away the sins of the world. And this is what I want you to get from John the Baptist. He knew for what he had come to do, and John was better for realizing who Jesus was. And at the end of his time on earth, John had a period of question in his life. He was in prison, he was about to be put to death, and he was doubting some things about Jesus. But while in prison, he sent some of his friends to go ask Jesus. He said, "Go ask him, are you the one that we've been seeking for?" Now this is great, because Pilate all his life tried to cleanse himself because he didn't have a right view of Jesus. But John, in the darkest hour of his life, he had a correct view of Jesus. And so he sent some people to him. He said, "Are you the one that I believed in? Are you the one?" The great thing about having a right view of Christ is that we can go to him with the questions of life. Amen. And Jesus sent word again to John. He told his disciples, said, "Go tell him," amen, "go tell him that the blind are given their sight," amen, "the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor hear the gospel, and blessed is he who shall not be offended in me." You know, those disciples, they took that word back to John, and they said, "John, Jesus said this." And you know, John didn't have to worry if he had done anything wrong like Pilate, because he had gone to Jesus Christ for the answer to the problem he was having, because he knew who Christ was and he knew who he is. Praise the Lord. Now listen to me. When you're down in the deepest, darkest moments of your life, if you don't have a right view of Jesus, it's going to destroy you and kill you. It'll drive you into deeper despair. But if you'll view Christ for who he is the one who died and rose again. He is the one who took away all your sin. He's the one who broke the chains of bondage. You can run to him. And you know what? You'll find he has the answer. Hallelujah. We talked about Pilate. We talked about John. I want to talk about you. What's your view of Jesus? How do you see Jesus? The Bible tells us that the devils in hell believe that there is one God. Praise the Lord. But they're still devils. You can believe that Jesus is God, but He has got to be the Lord of your life. How do you see Jesus this morning? You look through the Bible and you can see a few examples about how people saw Jesus. Abraham saw Him as the ultimate promise keeper. Joseph saw God as a great deliverer. Moses saw Him as the I am that I am. Praise the Lord. David found Him as the strength in his hand when he slayed the giant. Daniel found Him as the one who delivered him from the mouths of the lions. Isaiah saw Him high and lifted up. Amen. In His train filling the temple. Jeremiah saw Him even in the pit of despair as the one who gives His mercies new every morning. The shepherds saw Him in a manger in swaddling clothes. And they heard the proclamation of the angels. Amen. Peace on earth, goodwill to men, because a Savior is born this day in the city of Bethlehem. Praise God. The wise men saw Him as one to be revered and worshipped. Paul saw Him as a Savior on the road to Damascus. John saw Him as the man at the end of the age, still standing victorious. Amen. All of these men, all of these people in the Bible, they viewed Him for who He is. Praise God. How do you view Jesus this morning? Stand with me today. On one side, we had a wrong view. He's just a man. But on the other side, we had one who said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Hallelujah. Don't that make you excited? That there was a Savior who came to die for you. It matters how you see Jesus today. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Nobody looking around this morning. I want to ask you a very serious question. In your heart, is Jesus the Lord? Does everything you have belong to Him? Are you living to serve Him? Do you view Him as Lord? While everybody's eyes are closed and nobody's looking around, I want you to raise your hand if you'll say, "Brother Cruz, He hasn't been the Lord of my heart. I want Him. I need Him to be the Lord of my heart. I need to have a right view of Christ." If that's you, raise your hand. You say, "Brother Cruz, I need to look at Him right." There's hands in several places. Hallelujah. Amen. This is what I want us to do this morning. Now, He may be the Lord of your life, but you want to reaffirm that. That surrender. I want you to come to this altar when I ask you to come. But we'll make it easy on those who raise their hands. If you desire for the Lord to be the Lord of your life, why don't you go ahead and make your way to this altar right now. Your heart's desire is that He be everything to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Go ahead and come. Go ahead and come. Your heart's desire, your heart's cry is, "Jesus, have control of every part of me. I want to be yours. I want to be your faithful servant." Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you'd like to come and join these at the front and pray, feel free to. We understand if you need to go this morning. But please make sure you have a right view of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus, I surrender all. kingdom.